This morning is February 26th, and the major scripture portions we're going to look at this morning is from 2 Corinthians and from the book of Ephesians. And what we're going to talk about today is reversing the rejection cycle. Last week we talked about how many of our lives get into rejection. And the cat, well, what I hope this causes you to do and understand is that truth defeats the rejection cycle in our lives. So if we were in school, let's do a quick review here. Last week when we talked about rejection, rejection happens to all of us, doesn't it? And my feeble attempt at alliteration in that message was that a lot of the rejection we experience is from our parents. And a lot of the rejection we experience in life is from our peers. And a lot of the rejection that we experience is from the public. And oftentimes we personally reject ourselves as well. Those primary sources, I tried to figure out an alliterated way to put husband and wife in there, but it didn't fit, so I figured that's just a common denominator of knowns, that if you're married, you get rejected by the person you're married to. Just kind of the way it is. You think when you get married that you're never going to get rejected, but that only lasts for about 20 minutes, and then you realize what life is really all about, that relationships have rejection within them. Now then, second in review, a rejection cycle begins when I allow thoughts and feelings of rejection to control me. When I allow the experiences of life to control and dictate who I am, they begin to come into control of my life. Now this is an important, short, succinct phrase, and I pondered over this a bunch, but here's what I believe is true. The person who believes he or she is rejectable and unlovable makes a number of decisions that reinforce his or her view of being rejectable. These decisions create a lifestyle consistent with that point of view, bringing more rejection upon the person. It took me a while to compose that because I'm usually way too wordy, but in essence, I believe that to be true. And that little SFP is not something you put in your oil to keep your motor from locking up. It's a note for me. When Bishop Secretary, who by the way resigns Tuesday, and I were chatting the other day, and I was telling Sherry, she'd been a real big help, and gosh, she and I were just beginning to talk the same language. Now I got to learn to deal with another lady, which is always a challenge in my life, but that's the way God goes. She says, "You got a degree in psychology." And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, what practical value is that to you in ministry?" And I said, "Well, I spent years studying the flesh." The psychological world does a really nice job of analyzing our flesh patterns. When you're living in the rejection cycle, when you're not living in the spiritual pattern that I'm going to explain to you at the end of this message, you function after your flesh. And the psychological world has spent years and years and years and billions of dollars studying our flesh. And one of the major beliefs of the psychological world is called self-fulfilling prophecy. Self-fulfilling prophecy. What I believe about myself, I will consciously and unconsciously make decisions and cause actions in my life to fulfill what I believe to be true about myself. If I believe that I am a rejected, unlovable person, I will develop a lifestyle characteristic what I believe to be true. When Kent and I are panhandled by the street people who live in the part of New Orleans where we're going, they have developed a lifestyle characteristic with what they believe to be true about themselves. Marilyn and I had a relative who committed suicide last month. They develop a pattern of beliefs about themselves and take it to the extreme that they will commit suicide to fulfill what they believe about themselves. The realities of life are we choose a whole lot by what we believe, who we become. If you believe that you could win, the odds of you winning are better than if you don't. When we watch the Olympics, how many of you watched the Olympics with me this week? Watched a number of the Olympics. The people who win gold medals have great confidence between their heads. They all have basically the same skis. They all ski down the same side of the mountain. They all They all have the same technology and training techniques. The only thing that sets one of them apart from the rest of them is between their ears. That's really a true statement. And some of the most gifted athletes and some of our American athletes were billed to be the best. If they don't have their head on straight, if they're not concentrating, if they're not totally focused on what they're doing, they don't win. No matter how gifted of an athlete they are. Anyway, next review point. People who live in the rejection cycle react by becoming self-centered, and they also react by rejecting others and even God. And lastly, choosing to believe who I am in Christ will stop the rejection cycle. That's the point of this message. Now, as we last week, I drew this diagram for you. Point number one, I think or feel I'm rejected. Point number two, the decision point. What I do with my free will is I choose to allow those things to control me. You can make a different choice. But in the flesh pattern, this is what happened. Then I react by rejecting other people's and myself. Or I try harder to get their acceptance, which leads to a dead-end cycle. It continues on like a whirlpool or a tornado in our lives. So, how do I react? Here's where your outline begins to get challenging for you. Do I function from rejection, causing more rejection? In my life, as you have, as a person, I didn't put you a place to write it down so nobody can see it, but look in your heart. Is that the way I function? In relationships with people and in my life in a general basis, do I function from rejection, causing more rejection? Do I function from acceptance, causing more acceptance? Because you can live either one of those two. You can live a life accepted by God when you function from His acceptance. It causes people naturally to accept you the same way if you function from rejection, it causes people to reject you. You can choose. It's your call. Do I function from fact or evidence? Do I function from truth or my experience? We had a historic court case in Dixon this week. How many of you paid attention? We had a historic court case in Dixon. And that jury had to make a decision based on their life experience, what they know. Correct? What they've experienced in life up to this point in time. Is that what jurors get to make their decision on? They are not allowed to make it by their personal experience, their life patterns. They have to make their decision based on facts, not just evidence. Now, in a court, have you ever been in a courtroom? It's much like our life. There is a prosecuting attorney. Satan walks before the throne of God 24 hours a day accusing the brethren. There is a prosecuting attorney. There is also a defense attorney who sits at the right hand of God, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, interceding for us on a regular basis. We're in this all the time, you and I. And you have to make a decision either based on the facts, the truth, or your experience. And quite honestly, most people studying the flesh for years like I have in psychology, most people make it on the evidence. Most people make their decisions on the evidence and the experience, not on the truth. Sadly, but that's true. They build it on past practice. Now then, do I function from victory or for victory? Do you function from the completed work on that cross that's around my neck? Jesus Christ purchased everything necessary for you to function in complete victory for your entire existence throughout eternity. Or, on a regular basis, do you function for victory? You're trying to get past this. You're trying to win this battle in your own strength. You're trying to get over this pattern in your life. See, you can function from either way, and it's clearly and simply your choice. What you believe will make the difference. How do I react towards God? Romans 9, 20 and 21. Man, who are you who replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me this way? Does not the potter have the power in the clay to make from the same lump some vessel of honor or another of dishonor? How many of you have ever challenged God? God, why are you putting me through this? Why are you doing this to me? Do you ever do that in your relationships or your life pattern? See, it's completely possible for God from the same lump of clay to make something noteworthy or something unnoteworthy. And it's His clay. He can make whatever He wants out of it. Out of this same batch of clay that I made this necklace from, I also made a hash pipe from the same one. In my early Christian years, I was struggling with drug and alcohol dependencies, and I used illegal drugs a lot. And from the same lump of clay, I made a crucifix and crucified myself, and I made hash pipes out of the same piece of clay. Now, I can still show you the crucifix, and I can still show you the necklace, but the hash pipes I threw away. They're of no use or value. They were unknowable of use. But God can make out of the clay whatever He wants to make. And it's not our job to ask Him why He's doing that. But we do it. How do you react towards God? How do you react towards others? This is probably easier for you to define. I got a couple passages out of 1 Peter. First one, chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Finally, everyone must live in harmony, be sympathetic, love each other, and have compassion and be humble. Finally. That's the way we're supposed to live. Do you live that way? Are you compassionate with people when they mess up and they reject you? Do you live that humble servant life that the worship team lived as? Make me a servant, Lord. Is that the way you live? Don't pay people back with evil, is verse 9, for evil. Don't ridicule those who ridicule you. Instead, bless them because you are called to inherit a blessing. Remember we started with the blessing out of Numbers? That's what you're really called to get, is that. And then verse 10, people who want to live a full life and enjoy good days must keep their tongues from saying evil things, their lips from speaking deceitful things. They must turn away from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. So, if you want that bottom line verse 10 life, it's available. And you can choose to have that, but you have to choose to live 8 and 9 to get 10. You see how that works? If you choose to humble yourself, if you choose to keep your mouth shut rather than a mouth off, your life will become like that one. Now look at this one, 2 Peter 2, 21-25. God called you to endure suffering because Christ suffered for you. He left you an example so that you could follow in His footsteps. Christ never committed any sin. He never spoke deceitfully. Christ never verbally abused those who verbally abused Him. When He suffered, He didn't make any threats, but He left everything to the one who judges fairly. Christ carried our sins in His body on the cross so that, freed from sins, we could live a life that has God's approval. His wounds healed you. You were lost, sheep, but now you have come back to the shepherd, the bishop of our lives. He carried our sins so that we could live a different way. He actually bought your ticket. Stopping the rejection cycle is this. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, so if anyone is in Christ, if you've become born again, if you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have a new existence if you're willing to believe it has become new for you. It will grow as you believe it. And all things are of God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Whereas God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing trespasses against them, but putting the word of reconciliation in us. Then we are ambassadors on the behalf of Christ, God exhorting Him through us. We beseech you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled with God. Here's the point. All things became new when you became spiritually born again. And they develop as you believe they're there. As you believe that's true. So here's how you reverse the rejection cycle, how you stop it. You can't stop feeling like you're unloved or believing that somebody rejected you, because they do. But what you can change is what you choose to do with it. Rather than allowing those thoughts and feelings to control you, I can choose to believe that who I am in Christ. And there's a whole list of them there from a scripture that I'm going to show you in just a minute. But the first one says, I am blessed. How many of you have ever greeted me and they say, hey, Wilmer, how are you? And I say, I'm blessed. The most recent one is, I'm blessed unless you tell me different. Right? But I believe that to be true. I believe I am a blessed guy. Not because I deserve it, but purely and simply because Christ purchased it for me. Because I'm a blessed guy and believe I'm blessed, I get more blessings. Up until this morning, I thought this. Kent and Sam and I will divide the fuel to get down and back. It's 1,000 miles down, 1,000 miles back. Well, it's really 979 miles, but call it a grand. I figured Kent and I'll cut that three ways. I said, we got to spend that three nights in a hotel. I'll buy one, Sam buy one, Kent buy one, and we're good. Right? That's the logical way to think about going on a trip with three guys, isn't it? Well, then all of a sudden, I get here this morning, and you guys decide, well, we'll buy your gas, and we'll buy your hotels. I got blessed. Sam got blessed. Kent got blessed. Because a lot of that is because I believe we are blessed. When you go into a situation knowing that you're adopted and accepted by God, you give acceptance to others. When you go into a situation believing you're forgiven, you give more forgiveness. When I feel rejected and I know I'm forgiven, it's easy for me to forgive somebody who does something stupid against me because I do more stupid stuff than any of you. Right? And God forgives me all my stupid stuff. So readily and easily and quickly and before you even do it, I want to give that to you. Does that make sense? That makes a totally different way of life of dealing with people. Because people do mean things to you. Right? They do nasty things to you that you don't deserve. But if you choose to function from that basis, because of who I am in Christ, you can live a different life. Now then, here's the Ephesian passage that says, God blessed us, God chose us, God made us holy, perfect, adopted. God forgave all of our failures. And that's in Ephesians 1, 3 through 9. You can read it and underline it in your Bible. That's where I got all those things from the diagram are purely out of the Bible. And it's all based on through Christ, because of what Christ did for me and you, that this can be true for you and I. It's not based on our behavior. So how do you reject? How do you deal with rejection? You can either allow that to control your life, or you can allow God's Spirit to control your life. Choose to believe something else. Then I can respond, point number three, by loving other people. When I choose to believe, you see how that works? When I choose to believe who I am, then the cycle gets bitter. I respond by loving other people. That's my natural response. Here's what it says in John 13, 34 and 35. I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other the same way I loved you. Everyone will know that you are my disciples because you love each other. One of the core values of building our church is loving God and loving others. This is how you choose to do it, based on what Jesus did for you. Now, the crux is what you choose to believe. As we read through the Bible this week, I saw several different things. When you look at Friday's Bible reading, when you read Mark there, did you notice this story of Jairus and the woman who had been hemorrhaging for years? Did you notice that story? Do you remember reading that? There was a ruler in the synagogue whose daughter was dying, and Jesus was in a big crowd. One of the ladies had been to doctors all her life, and they'd messed her up more than they helped her. And she said, if I can just touch Jesus, I'll be healed. Now, what do those two have in common? What they have in common is what Jesus said to them. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. What made that work for them was they believed. They had faith. Jesus went to his hometown and couldn't do much. Those of you who are reading the Bible through me in the next chapter, why couldn't he do much? Because the people there didn't have faith, didn't believe him. God gives you the faith. God gives you the choice. Exercise it properly. Here's another one. How many of you yesterday, when you were reading Numbers, read this? The Lord said to Moses, "How much longer will these people reject me?" Did you notice that? How much longer will they refuse to trust me, even though I've done so many miracles among them? This is a real life story. What happened in this chapter? Do you remember it? Verse, you just read it yesterday. I didn't make one earlier in the week. But this is literally where the 12 spies come back from the promised land. And two of these guys said, "No problem, we can go kick these guys' butt, we can clean the country out, we can have it, let's go." And 10 of them say, "No way, these guys are too big, we should have never left Egypt." And who did the people believe? The 10 guys who had no faith. And you know what happened? Here's what God said. Moses interceded for him. God says, "I'll forgive them what they ask, but I promise, as sure as I live and as surely as my presence fills the whole earth, none of these people will enter the land. They will never enter the land which I promised their ancestors. None of them who have rejected me will ever enter it." All those people died in the wilderness 40 years. Why? Because they would not believe, they would not trust God in a tough situation. But you can, and I can, because in very next verse, verse 24, "But because my servant Caleb," and by the way, Joshua as well, "has a different attitude and has remained loyal to me, I will bring him into that land." See, there's a perfect illustration. When there's giants in their life and you're in a mess, you can choose what you want. You can not believe God, and you'll never enter this beautiful, wonderful experience that I'm talking about. Will God still forgive you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, He'll still forgive you. You can be a child of God and never experience the wonder of the Christian life that I'm explaining to you. He'll forgive you, but you'll never experience the wonders and the amazement of the blessings if you don't trust Him, if you don't believe Him. And quite honestly, you're walking on ice that you don't know how thick it is. Literally. And this freezing, thawing stuff, you know, that's going on, you never know how thick the ice is when you're walking on it. But if the Lord says walk on it, just trust Him. Go. Believe what He tells you to do. Continue in the fellowship offerings. Stay tight with Him so you know. But you can choose the life that you want to experience. You can live like Joshua and Caleb to a long life. I think it would be really fun to be 3 times as old as all the young kids when you entered the land and be able to fight longer, run harder, charge stronger than any of them rookies. You know, that's the way I want to live. I want to finish really well, like Joshua and Caleb, and I hope you do too. I listened to the song from the Robin Hood movie the other day when I was in the car, and I thought, you know, Robin Hood, when Kevin Costner made that movie, he said, "No, I can't do it, but I'll lead you." You know, and he happened to lead them in the right way. And I was crying as driving down the road listening to this song. Because really, that's the same thing with me. I'm going to try to lead you guys in the right way. And loving God and loving others is the way I'm leading you. And if you want to believe it, you want to trust it, there's some tremendous blessings for all of us. Even the people who are listening to us on the internet right now. There's tremendous blessings for us if we'll trust God, if we'll believe it. So, that's the challenge for today. Stop rejecting people. Heavenly Father, as we bow before you right now, we thank you so much for your gracious, kind, merciful, tender, loving care for us, even when we don't believe it and accept it. We thank you for your patience. Lord Jesus, we bow before you, and I bend my knee to you and you alone for your great atoning work, your sinless sacrifice to make it all possible, to purchase a ticket on this mission trip that we're on, called life. Holy Spirit, thank you so much for your presence and your power. We challenge you to be active, alive, and well, revealing your will to us, on your scripture to us, on a moment by moment, second by second basis. As we bow before you right now, we thank you for what you've done. We challenge you to encourage our lives to believe you more, to trust you deeper, to walk with you more faithfully, and to receive the amazing blessings therein. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.